The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Our head in the Word, keep our eyes looking up before, because our redemption is drawing near. Amen. And we'd like to welcome those of you joining us on the broadcast tonight, and those of you on the FM dial. God bless you. We're glad you're here, and we serve an awesome God. Amen. And I tell you, there's a lot of fear and confusion in the world right now. But aren't you glad that perfect love casts out fear? Aren't you glad tonight that perfect love? And you say, well, where's you going to find perfect love? You'll find it in the person of Jesus Christ. Perfect love casts out fear, and so we don't have to be afraid. If today you're afraid, I would encourage you to get into the Word of God, because 365 times he said, fear not. And then he gives you the prescription for fear. We don't have to be afraid. We have to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. How many of you have ever thought you understood something, and then when the truth was revealed, it was something totally other, different than what you believed at first? I'm still licensed as an amateur radio operator, and we would talk to people all around the world and all around the country, and inevitably you draw an image in your mind. Now this is way back before FaceTime and Messenger and all that, but you would draw an image based on the voice that you heard. Right? I remember when I was a kid growing up in Wabash, Indiana. My aunt and uncles and all them, they all had CBs. It was the craze, right? You know, got your ears on, good buddy. You know, it was the craze, you know. And there was a person that everyone thought, based on the pitch of their voice, everyone assumed that it was a woman. And the handle, you know, sometimes handle, you know, like Super Streak, you know, that doesn't really imply that, yo, I'm a dude. And so that was a benign CB handle, you know. And one day somebody said, hey, why don't we meet out at the Hardee's for coffee, and we'll just get to have an eyeball session, I guess they used to call them. And let's just meet. And sure enough, everybody, you know, they could recognize people by their voice. Oh, well, you're so-and-so. Oh, you're so-and-so. Oh, you're... And then all of a sudden, this person evidently walked through the crowd last, or walked up to the table last, and people with their backs to them heard them, and they said, oh, that's... And the people that were they're facing them were like... Because their voice did not match who they were. Everybody had drawn a conclusion incorrectly based on what they had heard and experienced and what they thought, and it was wrong. I don't think I'll ever forget the telling of that story. Have you ever, this is kind of a rhetorical question, but have you ever drawn a conclusion and made a decision with not all of the facts? Sometimes when you fill in the blanks, you end up with blanks. If nothing from nothing leaves nothing, and you build on nothing, right? I wish people today could relate to the Popeye comic strip. Because there was a little character in the Popeye comic strip by the name of Wimpy. Anybody remember Wimpy? What was Wimpy famous for? I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Right? I'll gladly pay you tomorrow for something today. And I think it behooves us to understand that a lot of people, and we talked about this on Sunday, and I'm not skipping off into a tangent. I'm just bringing it in so we can start back up. A lot of people, since 9/11/2001, have been okay with giving up their freedoms, their rights, and their security. Keep me safe, take what you will. I'll strip naked at the airport to go on a plane to see Granny, but keep me safe. I think sometimes, matter of fact, I'll even go further than that. The Bible says when everyone calls Christ peace and safety, he said, take heed because sudden destruction is near. Sudden destruction. What does the Bible mean by sudden destruction? I know what we mean by sudden destruction, right? You know, sudden for us, you know, a woman can carry a child for 9 months and then all of a sudden the water breaks and suddenly there's a baby here. You try to say, oh, wow, that was pretty quick. And you look at the mom and she said, uh-uh. Sudden takes on different meanings to different folks, don't it? And so it depends. There's a perspective that we have to understand. But when we everyone cries peace and safety, take everything, but let us live in peace. We don't want conflict. And yet the problem with it is that conflict it cannot be governed. Righteousness cannot be regulated. Either you are or you are not. And people that say, I believe that man is basically good, they have not read the Bible because it says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's right. We are fallen creatures. We denied the Creator. And so we are living in a constant state of denial. Man can't deliver us. If you're in a rut, if you're stuck in one of these four-wheel drives and out in the field and you get stuck and that 5-ton four-wheel drive slips onto the axles, you need something else that's not stuck to pull you out. You can't be in the mess stuck yourself and trying to get yourself out of the mess. You need someone on high ground, someone with a solid foundation to pull you out, that has leverage and power enough to pull you out. If you're in the muck and you're in the mire, then you need someone who's on the solid rock. The writer has said that he lifted my feet out of the miry clay and set me on the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So on Sunday we were in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're not going to go there. You can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18. We're not going to re-preach Sunday. If you're tuning in for the first time and you missed Sunday, or maybe you've missed a month of Sundays, or maybe you just don't care anymore. But anyway, go back and listen to Sunday so you can catch up to tonight. And hopefully, you'll come here before the rapture happens the next time, because I'd hate to wave goodbye to you as we're leaving. Sorry, just speaking the truth. Because the Bible says that all the world will see his appearing. Then those who turned us down, and then those who laughed at us, and then those who mocked at us, then what will they do? Some will say good riddance until the next chapter opens. But anyway, that's all right. Okay, so in Matthew 24:13, Jesus tells us, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And again, the message, the continuation tonight is, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? And you need to understand, there are some people that have passed the opportunity enough that they cannot be saved. They are not hearing the voice and the call of God anymore. They have rejected the call of God on their life so many times that God is no longer calling them. And friend, if you're in that boat, if you have rejected the call of God on your life so much, you're willing to put up with the total hell of this world and you're fine with that, you don't have answers to any of your questions, but you rejected the God that created you so many times that you don't even care anymore, we pray for you. We hope that God gives you one more opportunity, but there are some who will never hear his invitation again. And that's a sad state to be in. As this world runs headlong into the abyss. I said Sunday, we're not in Mayberry anymore. As this world runs headlong over the cliffs, as this world runs headlong around the barricades. You say, what barricades? Every believer that has asked you, do you know Jesus? Every believer that has presented Jesus to you, every believer that has invited you to come and hear about Jesus, those are barricades that God put in your road path, in your road to block your path and to slow your descent. And one of these days, you say, well, I don't believe that. The people in Noah's day didn't believe it either. Noah looked quite like the fool for 120 years. Until it started raining. Once the rain fell, once the rains started, then it was too late because the Lord had shut the door. It's not up to us. It's not up to the river. It's not up to any pastor. It's not up to any believer. God's going to be the one that's going to call the end. And when he does, I hope that you have made the right decision. And if you're still wondering what that decision is, get a hold of us. We'll tell you. We'll gladly share with you what that decision, according to God's word, is. Right? So, turn with me to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading around verse 15. And again, the question tonight is then, who then can be saved? Verse number 15, it says that they also brought to him infants, or they brought to him, infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. You got to watch religious people. Religious people try to stop the anointing of God, the blessing of God from flowing. If you're around religious people, they'll stop the blessing of God in your life if you're not careful. They'll say, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? Can you imagine bringing your baby to the Lord? Infants still suckling. Can you imagine bringing your baby to the Lord that he might bless them? And one of the disciples said, hey, don't you know who that is? You get away from him. He ain't got time for you. Well, that's almost like the current day political crowd, isn't it? Whisking these public opinion figures away before they can answer real questions. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. I was hoping that my granddaughter would be here tonight because I have a great illustration. The Lord gave me a great illustration. If I bring her up here, and you guys all know her, and at the river you all know her, and I don't put her on camera a lot, but if I bring her up here and I ask her, I said, You want Papa to give you a surprise? Oh, yeah. You ready for your surprise? Oh, yeah. She don't have to know what the surprise is. She just believes in the fact that Papa said he's going to give her a surprise, that it's automatically going to be good. Except, Jesus said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Remember we talked about it on Sunday? Jesus said it, that settles it. Whatever Jesus said we have, we have. Whatever Jesus said we can do, we do. The authority that he says we have, we have. In Jesus' name, we have it. And we have to receive that, like my granddaughter will receive that Papa's got a prize for her. Never doubted. Sometimes even when Papa didn't say he had a surprise for her, Papa has a surprise for her. Matter of fact, she's getting to the age now where I got to keep a few surprises you know, stashed away for, you got a surprise for me, Papa? You know why? Because we've got a relationship that she understands that Papa loves her and cares about her and is going to do what's good for her. Do we trust God like that? Do we trust God implicitly like that? Do we have a trust of God that way? Is God calling us to one area or this area or that area? Is he calling us to minister to our families? Is God calling us to lead our families according to his word? Do we trust him? Do we believe? R.W. Shambach used to say that if he comes to church and nobody shows up, he'd turn around and preach to himself because evidently he's the one that needed it. Sometimes our biggest convert will be our own self. And finally just saying, you know what? I just got to let God be God because I can't deal with it. As a matter of fact, if you try to deal with it your own self, you'll get further out in the mud. You'll get further down until you get bogged down to where you'll never get back. Sometimes you just need to believe that God is who he said he is, end it right there, and say, I don't care what the world says, I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. I think it's time we call out again. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who's on the Lord's side among you? Oh, we've heard stories. We've heard rumors. We've seen things happening. We've seen things taking a place. You know what? I talked with the Lord this morning, and he's not concerned a bit. We're right on schedule. We're right on his. He said, matter of fact, after that teaching that y'all done went through, you can see we're right on track. You can see you are. It's like the sign at the mall. You are here, and I am here. I mean, if we could, boy, I wish, it wouldn't it be great if we had a sign like that? It said, you are here, and here is the rapture. Just a few more days. Just ahead. So what then shall we do? What do we need to do? Well, we've talked about this a lot. And I hope that by repeating it, it sinks in and not bounces off. When they were standing at the Red Sea, the waters before them that were impassable, and Pharaoh's army behind them that was impossible. When you find yourself between impassable and impossible, then God gave Moses a command. And it was panic! Ah! You sure? Because that's what I see the church doing a lot. I see the church worried a lot. I see the church in fear. What if I? What if I? What if I? What if God? We need to let God be God, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Amen. And what he told to Moses was, stand still and see the salvation of God. Amen. See the salvation of the Lord. See Jehovah deliver you from this. How many times in the past year, we said here at the river, July was miracle month. Miracles took place here. Bona fide miracles. Both financial and health-wise. Bona fide miracles. Amen. God's still on the throne. Yes. I said Sunday, and I'll repeat it just for clarity's sake. You know, we need to quit telling God how big the mountain is and start telling the mountain how big our God is. I'm just going to throw that out there. We'll move on, but I think now you're beginning to get the picture. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. There's only two. You're not fixing to serve God. There ain't nobody in America that says, you know what? I need to go get me a bath, so I'm going to take a shower first so I don't get the bathwater dirty. Nobody says, you know what? I got to get well before I can go to the doctor. If you're hurting, you go to the doctor. If you're sick, you go to the doctor. You don't. There's so many people that are spiritually sick, spiritually dying, and the remedy is a call away. How quick will God be there on your behalf? Well, let's ask Peter, as he was calling out to him from the water, as he beginning to sink, said, "Lord, save me." How quick you sink? Everybody that lives by the lake or on the lake or whatever, got a swimming pool, here's how fast God will respond to you. You go out, and if you can swim, you go out and you step off the deck into that water and see how quick you start to sink. Because the Bible says, your Bible says, and Peter beginning to sink. We've had a lot of baptisms over at the lake. We've had a lot of baptisms, and I don't see anybody beginning to sink that you have to push them down. You know, you pretty much get them over, and down they go. I know some pastors would like to hold them down just to make sure it took. Was you thinking that? Oh my goodness, we're on the same page. That's trouble. That's trouble right there. Don't nobody look around, but the one with the red face is the one that's thinking that. So, all right. All right. Lord, help me out. I'm in trouble. Lord, save me. No. How do I get out? I got to find a scripture reference for that one now. And after this, Jesus has just turned around and he's rebuking the disciples who should have known. Jesus is teaching them, right? He's saying, look, this is why I'm here. The Son of Man come to seek and to save those which were lost. God cares about you. He cares. Right on the heels of this, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. He said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. This is Jesus evangelizing. Jesus street ministry. The commandments are God's law that are written on our heart. And Jesus said, you know these commandments. And the guy says, whoa, stop. Back the trolley up. You know, I'm a pretty religious dude. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So you mean to tell me that you can do all the do's and still not have a relationship with Jesus? As a matter of fact, if you can do anything of your own, then you have no need for Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest anyone can boast. And what was this guy doing? He was boasting. You know, well, I've done this. I have no other gods. I honor my mother and my father. I didn't lie. I didn't steal. You know, all these things. He said, all these I've kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Friends, I propose to tell you that tonight in 2021, Jesus is saying, come follow me. Well, I can be saved sitting on my couch. Then why did Jesus say, come follow me? Well, I can be saved looking at nature and looking at the water and playing golf. I can be saved. Then why did Jesus say, come follow me? Why did he give us an admonishment? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Why did he say that? If he said we didn't have to do it, if it's not a requirement, if it's not important, why did Jesus command us through the writing of the word to come follow me? And then the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's important. Because you will take on the characteristics of the people you surround yourself with. Bad company corrupts good character. You don't believe it? Hang out with the wrong crowd for about 3 or 4 weeks and see if you don't quit praying. See if you don't quit reading your word. See if you don't quit talking about God. And if you're not careful, you'll start using his name as a swear word. They will convince you. They will drag you down, and you'll begin to blaspheme. I wish I could say that I was just making that up, but I'm not. But when he heard this, the ruler, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that, because he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And let me just add a sidebar here. This is my commentary. I'll tell you when it's my opinion. How hard is it for those who have a lax belief, a lax theological system, a lax understanding of the word, a liberal understanding, that how hard is it for someone who has been convinced that you don't have to do what the Word of God says to follow him? How hard? You know, living the Christian life is not difficult. I know people say that it is. It's not. Deciding you're going to live a Christian life is the hard part. Once you have your mind made up and your foot set on the solid rock, from then on, you're following Jesus. It doesn't matter what goes on around you. But the minute that you take your eye off of him, like Peter in the storm, the minute that the waves will start to consume us. Too many Christians today are consumed by the waves when they should be walking toward the Lord, because he called us to come. We're not following. We've taken our eyes off of him. Jesus, he said, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, or a double-minded man, or a man that thinks they know what God meant when they don't. Or a man that thinks that they and Jesus have their own thing going, and they don't. Got to be cautious, because the writer of Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. Death there being eternal separation from God. All right? And then those who heard Jesus when he was talking about the rich man said, who then can be saved? Who then? There was a time in America's history when doctors, lawyers, and the uppity ups were the Christians, and the common man, the common laborer, the blue collar people, they were considered the outcasts. As a matter of fact, when Harvard University was founded, in order to graduate with a degree from Harvard, each student had to translate the New Testament from original Greek text into English on their own. That was part of their graduate program. A little bit different today. My, how things have changed. Today, it seems like the majority of people in the church are the blue collars and the working class and the normal everyday average people, but the upper crust of society, the elites, have found something better, something more appealing, something more pleasing. That is not Christianity, that's hedonism. Please me. I can have whatever I want. I've got all the money I need. Why do I need God? If you can find it, there was a book published in 1982. And I would recommend anyone who put their trust in money or financial institutions to read the book, When Your Money Fails. I mean, I just heard today. I haven't read the entire article, but I just heard today that America is on the verge of a digital currency. Why is that important? Because there's going to be a central figure that's going to stand on the earth stage. And he's going to say, unless you take this mark and pledge allegiance to me and worship me as God, then you can neither buy, sell, nor trade. As long as I got a paper currency in my pocket, then I'm still pretty good. As long as I got a little gold, then I'm still good. As long as I got a little silver, then I'm still good. As long as I can perform services and handyman services or whatever, I'm still good. We can barter. But the minute that your currency goes digital, a lot of people don't even realize it, but most of you have already slipped into the digital age because you don't carry cash, you carry only the debit card. In Greece, in Sweden, in Ireland, people found out how dangerous that can be when the government came in and took much of their bank accounts away when they went onto the euro. If you don't possess it, you don't have it. Doesn't matter how many credits you have. If it's not in your hand, you don't possess it. Another way of control. Again, not saying that this vaccine is the mark, but it is a high-level conditioning. This is the two-a-days at football practice for the world, for mankind. It's getting serious now. You will obey, or you will be punished. You will obey, or you will be banished. You will obey, or you will be imprisoned. I wish I could say I was joking, but I'm not. I'm hearing the arguments from the other side. I'm hearing the arguments. I'm feeling their pressure. I'm feeling their bullying. I'm feeling it. The same people that said, my body, my choice, just a year and a half ago. No, we've changed our mind. Well, good, then let's close those abortion clinics. Yeah. We agree with you. Let's close those abortion clinics. And then, oh, well, how would they make the vaccine? Just throwing that out there. Who then can be saved? The question is now is, do people even see the need for salvation? In this world today, do people even see the need for salvation? If everybody is right, then who is wrong? If everybody's okay, if I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay, we all in this together. If everybody's right, then who is wrong? If we're not careful, there are going to be people, and there already are. If you could see as though it were spiritually speaking, and look at all of the arcs. Do you realize that this church is an ark on the north side of Warsaw? There are arcs all the way around Warsaw. Stations that used to be for saving. Used to be pointing people toward the cross of Calvary. Used to be lifting up the name of Jesus. If you could see in the Spirit the incomplete arcs where people have laid the tools down and said, I don't think it's ever going to rain. Think about that for a moment. What if at year 119, Noah had said, you know what, God? I'm tired. All these people are laughing at me. All these people are calling me a fool. All these people are saying I'm stupid. They're forcing me to give an account. All these people. What if in one year 119, Noah just looked over at the boys and said, you know what? That's it. We're done. You know, that's what churches are doing today. They're giving up their long-held biblical doctrines because somehow they've got it in their mind. Pastor Burkhart used to say they got it in their computers that the Bible is wrong and man is right. Let me just tell you something. Everything that we're dealing with today was prophesied 2,000 years ago in the Word of God. Everything. I used to wonder, how in the world are they going to get everybody? When my grandfather was teaching and preaching this back in the 70s, in the 60s and the 70s, I used to wonder, as a little kid, I would sit there and I would wonder, how in the world are they going to get everybody to take a mark? How in the world are they going to get everybody to comply? How in the world, I mean, everybody in the world, they can't, I mean, you know, back in that day, I remember, what was it, in 1980 was the first time that they ever broadcast a concert in England and it was live in the United States. I wondered about things like that. How in the world is everybody going to see the two prophets that are going to be killed and laid in the street in Jerusalem? How in the world is everybody going to see that? How in the world is everybody going to witness Gog and Magog in real time? How in the world? You know, now that I'm saying that, I'm reflecting on it. It's like, wow, gosh, in 40 years, that technology has, there's been an increase in knowledge, hasn't there? Oh, wait. It was in there. Oh, well, I don't think that's what it means. What do you think it means? What then, pray tell, is your understanding? Like Jesus said to the rich young ruler, what is your understanding? And will your understanding hold when the trumpet sounds? Well, I just don't believe there's a trumpet sound. Well, then there again. It's because you're devoid of understanding what the Word of God says. I'm not putting you down. I'm saying there's still time. While breath remaineth, hope. Get in the Word. It was prophesied. And it wasn't one of those vague prophecies like that Nostradamus character or whatever. You didn't have to stretch it and bend it and get it over the fire and mal it with a sledgehammer. Word for word, line for line, precept for precept, happening what God said would happen. I think he knows. All right? Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Who then can be saved? Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. When you're there, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But his disciples rebuked those who brought them. What are these guys thinking? Do you think the children had a problem with Jesus? Do you think Jesus had a problem with children? Do you know the attitude in society today is if you don't believe what I believe, then you're an idiot. If you don't believe what I believe, then you're a hater or a terrorist or whatever. Yeah, if you don't believe the way I believe, then we can't be friends. That's why Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. Because they're not hung up with all their hang-ups. They're not stuck up with all that they think they know. And how can we truly know history as long as people are intent on rewriting it? How can you know where the boundaries are if the stakes keep getting moved? In the Old Testament, it says, do not remove the ancient landmarks, pastors. The ancient landmarks, they were set there by the fathers and the elders ages ago. Don't remove them. Learn them. Recite them. Live by them. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. Today, some people have such a liberal theology, they don't even know that there were such a thing as landmarks. And it's costing people their very souls. There is a danger in being a false prophet. That's what we found out on Sunday. Jesus said, in the last days, false prophets will rise. They'll come in my name, and they will deceive many. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, broad is the gate and broad is the path. Wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction. And there will be many that go therein. But he said, straight, narrow is the gate and straight is the path. And there will be few. Am I ashamed that there's only few? No, Jesus said it. I would God that there would be more. I hope that even as we're saying, speaking, I hope that more people would come to trust in God and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's my hope, that's my prayer, that's my dream, that's my vision, but I don't think that I'm going to see it. It's going to take something drastic to turn them back to God. You would have thought that anyone who had any inkling, you would have thought that people with Bibles in their house. See, that very Bible that you have but don't read, one of these days the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to open it and he's going to begin to pronounce sentence on you. How are you going to fare? Well, I didn't know, Lord Jesus. I didn't know you, that's what you meant. I heard an old preacher on the internet say one time that we were supposed to go to church, but I really didn't think you meant that. Matter of fact, you know, Mr. Mega Preacher on the TV said we didn't have to. Huh. Look around. Where's Mr. Mega Preacher? Where's he going to be? Let not many of you become teachers, the word says. For in doing so, you're going to reap a stricter judgment. You better be sure. Amen? You've got to be sure. But when Jesus was great, and he rebuked those who brought them, they rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Not babies, but people that trust God unreservingly. I can take my granddaughter and we can go out into the deep end of the pool and she trusts Papa unreservedly. She's kind of a daredevil anyway, but she's always trusted Papa. Matter of fact, if Papa ain't looking, you'll find her up on the pulpit or the stage or platform, and she'll just say, Papa, and come flying at you with a Superman leap. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. You know what? If you want to come to the kingdom of God, you want to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you just need to say, Lord, I believe. Forgive me for my sins. I believe in you. I trust in you. I can't trust in myself. I can't trust in those around me. But Lord, I put my faith fully in you. This plane is going down, and Jesus is my parachute. This boat is sinking, and Jesus is my life preserver. That's it. You got to believe in Jesus as one believes in a parachute, as one believes in a life preserver. You got to have something that will buoy you or lift you when everything else is pulling you down. And I love this. He took them up in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Oh man. Let me ask you today. In today's society, are we living the blessed life? Can people see that you've walked with Jesus? Can people see that you're living blessed, or have they converted you to walk away from him? As the believer in Christ, we are compelled to call others to come unto see him. Remember the woman at the well? She went there during the middle of the day. Most of the other women had been there in the morning. It was a morning chore. But she waited until all the other women had gone. I imagine because she got tired of the talking. I imagine she got tired of the name calling, of the dirty looks, of the well, you know, she's not vaccinated. No, I'm sure she got tired of all the innuendo and the allegations. And so in the middle of the day, when it was hot, she brought her jugs to the well. I love just before that, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I have a need to go to Samaria. Aren't you glad that the day that Jesus found you, he had a need to go to the place where you were at? Amen. You see, a lot of people say, well, I was looking for Jesus. No, you weren't. You weren't looking for Jesus. Jesus found you. You didn't even know Jesus was lost. That's because he wasn't. You were the one that was lost. He found us when we were that one sheep, and he left the 90 and 9 to come and seek and to find us. Aren't you glad? Amen. And so here she is, and he says, woman, give me something to drink. And she goes, well, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And he said, well, if you knew who it was that was talking to you and asking you for a drink, you would say, give me this water so that I may never thirst again. And oh boy, she got excited about that. You ever have to go do something that you don't like? You ever have to go do something? You have to do it. I mean, water, you have to have water to live, right? But the routine has become so mundane or so tedious or so treacherous that you just don't want to deal with this stuff anymore. And boy, she was thinking, man, that's it. Give me that. I want that water. I don't ever have to come here again. She goes, wait, how are you going to do that? You ain't got nothing to draw with. See, she was talking about one thing. Jesus was talking about a complete another. That's for you, Bugsy, another. She was talking about the physical water that would quench a physical thirst. And Jesus was talking about the water of life, that if you drink of that water, that you'll never, ever, ever thirst again. Let me just tell you something. Let me ask a question right now. Are you thirsty for the living water? If you're thirsty for the living water, there is a fountain that flows forward here at the river. And there are other good churches too, but at the river, I can verify, I can attest that there's water flowing forward from the fountain that is Jesus Christ. Jesus continued. He said, go and bring your husband and come here. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, that's right. You've had five, and the one you're with now don't think enough about you to give you his name. Is that too much? Y'all still with me? Ladies, if he loves you, there'll be more than a ring. There'll be a name attached. Sorry. Oh, I know it's not popular today, because today we want to try before we buy. Unfortunately, I know a lot of guys that are still paying. They ain't bought it yet. Because child support's a long, long time. You do it the Bible way. You do it Jesus' way, and it works out great. Works out wonderful. Now, before you go sending me nasty emails, let me just tell you, I understand that sometimes people can't get along. I understand. Sometimes it's better to be, Jesus told Peter, sometimes it's better to be up on the rooftop than in the house with a nagging, okay, I'm just leave it there. You all read the scripture, find out what it means. But God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. How could God see that? You go all the way back to the end of Genesis 1, at the end of the sixth day, and God saw all that he made, and it was perfect, and it was good, and God was well pleased. It was good. Then all of a sudden, sometime after that, he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. And so he created him a helper. And now before you ladies get all squirrely on me, the same word for helper there is the same word for I will give you a comforter, or the Holy Spirit. I will give you a companion. So before you get all you know, feminist on me, when God made a helper for Adam, it was like given when Jesus said, I'm going to go away so that the comforter or the paraclete might come and he will show you all things. Women are not servants. They're not meant to be servants. And if you check your history, you'll find that in every Christian nation, women have been liberated more than oppressed. Every Christian nation, there's liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. Don't be telling me that Christianity is an oppressive religion. It's not. You've heard something, but you can't confirm it. Yeah. Do the research. Look into the 1040 window and the oppression, the real oppression of women. Mm-hmm. Don't just cry equal rights when it suits your opinion, when it suits your need. If you believe it, be it. He goes on to say, and I'm going to close with this. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, again, hear this narrative. People are always wanting to know, what can they do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to live? What can I do to live? Remember on Sunday, we talked about he who seeks to save his life here, his mortal life, will lose it. But he who seeks to eternal life shall gain it. We want to live. Let me read that for you again in Matthew 16, 25 and 26 in the Amplified. It says, for whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and his security here will lose it. Will lose it, eternal life. And whoever loses his life, comfort and security here for my name's sake will find it, life everlasting. For what will it profit a man if he gives up if he gains the whole world and forfeits his blessed life in the kingdom of God, or his own soul? Or what could a man give in exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? What would you trade for that? Right? We're seeing that things have changed. We're seeing that things have changed. We want to live so badly, yet we're dying. We're giving up our eternal life. We want to live to the point where we think that this is all there is. But there's more. There's more. There's more. on the horizon. I'm going to close with a quote that I opened with on Sunday from James Elliott, Jim Elliott. It says, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to get that which he could never lose." Those are the wise ones. Those are the wise ones. What will you give? What are you trading? What are you trading for your very soul? You say, "Well, I tried that Christian life. Pastor, it just didn't work out. You don't know how hard it is." No, you know how hard it is because you don't have the helper helping you. That old trailer sitting beside my house. You know what? When I hook the truck up to it, it never complains about where we're going. But if I go out there and stand and say, "Okay, trailer, I want you to go here and here and here." They're like, "Well, I'm good if you are." Something has to give you momentum. Something has to provide you with motivation. What is leading you is the question. And when we answer, who then can be saved? How? By believing in God, by coming to Him with a childlike trust, a childlike faith. Push aside all those others. Let them go. Because eternity is a long, long, long time. We have no concept of eternity here on earth. We just don't know. You think this virus thing's been a long time. Multiply that by 10 billion, you know, to the eighth power, and then maybe you'll get a clue. Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29 says, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bless you and give you a hope. Not to do you harm, but to do you good. To be a blessing to you." Are you living the blessed life? Are you living the blessed life? We ask ourselves again, who then can be saved? And if you're saved, are you witnessing through your actions and your words? Some people will never come to church because we're a better testimony for the world than we are the church. You tell somebody you're a Christian and they look at you and say, "If you're a Christian, I don't want nothing to do with it." Or worse, they'll say, "If you're a Christian, I'm okay. I'm good." What testimony are you leaving in your daily walk? Because your walk is testifying about you. More ever than your talk, because people can talk the talk. Everybody knows, everybody has people in their life that can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. Who then can be saved? Well, Romans 10 and 13 tells us that for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And tonight, my friend, you are a whoever. He's calling. Can you hear His voice? God bless you. I hope that you were blessed by the teaching and the follow-up. Come be with us on Sunday. Another good message. Oh, and the Sunday night classes are kicking back up. You're going to want to be.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.